Why should I think that heaven is my home when I am a gypsy? I only want to roam. Why should I hope that God holds my throne when I am a rambler? I'm here and then I'm gone.
Hello and welcome to Untangled Resolution's presentation of The Problem is the Answer, coming to you live from Harlem, USA. I am your host, Batavi Lemtombini, relationship coach and divorce mediator, and this is a show about the social and financial issues that concern you most. Today, I am honored to welcome award-winning life cycle celebrant Kim Kirkley to the show. We will spend the next hour talking about celebrating the milestones in our lives: births and adoptions, graduations and promotions, weddings and homegoings. These transitions deserve the notice of a gathering and a special ceremony to recognize and celebrate each person's experience. No matter your faith tradition, cultural heritage, or unique quirks and preferences, you can actively blend your traditions and create new ones that reflect everything that is joyfully you. You are listening to singer-songwriter Valerie June, who describes her music as organic moonshine roots music. The song is called The Drifter from her album Mountain of Rose Quartz. Sit back and listen as everyone gathers. I'll be back with you in just a moment. Welcome to the 15th broadcast of The Problem is the Answer. Of course, I'm looking forward to a truly significant milestone like celebrating my 15th year of broadcasting, but it is important to celebrate what you have now. And that is what today's show is about, creating celebrations to commemorate those special milestones in our lives. If you are just tuning in, you've been listening to Valerie June, who creates organic moonshine roots music. Today, I'm celebrating nonconformists, and I am featuring music by a true original who celebrates true originals in her music. If you'd like to learn more about this wonderfully talented musician, visit my blog, www.untangledresolutions.blogspot.com. And I know that that's a kind of a chunk of stuff to remember. It's actually quite easy when you put it in. Untangledresolutions, all one word, .blogspot. Which is also all one word, .com, and you can get all the details about her music and her background through her website and where it is that you will find her performing around the country. I am very honored to welcome my guest today. Kim Kirkley is a professional celebrant who has won several awards for her work. She works with her clients to create ceremonies that reflect the true essence of what makes them and their relationship special. So I'm going to come and turn on Kim's mic. And Kim, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Batavale. I'm so glad to be here. What an honor.
Well, thank you so much. I remember we met a few years ago, And you told me about what it is that you do, and I've been interested in it ever since. So I'm really happy that we have this chance to talk about what you do and what how it can be helpful to people who are listening. So I'm glad to have the chance to bring what you do out to a larger audience here. I'd like to start with a little bit about background, a little background about how rituals function in our daily lives. So we can talk a little bit about rituals and then get into the details about how you help people to create memories that commemorate the special moments in their lives. You know, often here in the United States, I feel that we are not always truly aware of the various rituals we participate in. We recognize rituals as being part of exotic cultures, and yet we participate in so many national and community and family rituals ourselves. How are rituals important to communities and individuals?
Well, I think rituals are extremely important to communities and individuals because they help us to transition. So it can be a minor transition like that morning cup of coffee or standing in the same place as you wait for the subway every morning. Or it could be a larger ritual for a bigger transition, such as turning 16 or getting married or adopting a child.
So there are many opportunities that people have in their lives to participate in rituals or in ceremonies. And I find it interesting that you mentioned the morning cup of coffee because it sounds like things that are really mundane, that we take for granted, really are part of the rituals that help to punctuate the special moments in our lives.
Oh, definitely. They help us to have to enhance our comfort level. So, yes, they can be as mundane as that first cup of coffee or in the cup that you want to use, where you sit to have it. Do you look outside in the garden or are you on your way and you get that cup of coffee? And when you have that cup of coffee, you know that you are moving forward. Maybe it's as simple as what side of the bed you sleep on or the show that you want to listen to. Or the song that you turn to when things aren't going right to just help you to get centered. Of course, there are the more traditional rituals like prayer, like just taking some time to be still, maybe meditation. But we actually, in our modern culture, those of us who don't think of us of ourselves as ritualized beings, we still participate in ritual.
All the time.
Yes.
It sounds like, you know, most of the ceremonies or rituals that we are aware of are the large scale ceremonies, weddings, graduation, funerals. There are families who will have some kind of a ritual to welcome a child into a family as well, although that's not as common. And that's something I'd like to talk about a little bit too for a few minutes, which is the kinds of ceremonies that you've been involved in helping people to create that maybe are not the usual ceremonies that we think of, like weddings and funerals and so forth.
Oh, yes. Well, those are some of my special joys. I love to call the ceremonies for children baby welcomings. Usually they are for babies, infants in arms, and a lot of times the parents are of two different faith traditions or no faith tradition at all, but they have a sense that they want to honor this special moment of welcoming a new person into their lives and recognizing how everybody is transformed on some level. It's really fun to see people take on their new titles, their new responsibilities, and make room for that in our psyches. So that's what I believe that ceremonies really do. They help us to process change, and it's really evident in a baby welcoming. And we call it a baby welcoming or a baby blessing, if a couple or a family prefers that. And sometimes we'll talk about the child coming from a source greater than them, and we might say it's too indescribably wonderful to be named, but for conventional purposes, we call that force God. Other times, it's purely secular, and we just welcome this child, and we talk about the parents' joy in having this loved one here. And one of the most memorable, well, they're all memorable to me. They're all little pieces of my heart. But I'm always struck by the families who find me after being turned away by other clergy people.
Why would they be turned away?
Oh, for so many reasons. So little Dominic, his parents weren't married. His aunt is a proud lesbian woman, and she is his godmother. So those were two issues for the Catholic Church.
Oh, I see.
But for me, I'm saying welcome home, because you are loving people who love this little boy, and it's an honor to stand with people who've had difficult relationships with the church, because I've had difficult relationships with the church, and that's what led me to become a celebrant.
Right.
So for me, it's a full circle moment, and it's a chance to help people feel safe in themselves and in their community, because they're inviting all of their loved ones to share in this moment and to celebrate with them. And Dominic's ceremony was outdoors at his aunt's apartment complex. It was so touching, and he slept through the whole thing. He was about 4 months old. But we were all awake and enlivened by what was happening, by the beautiful things that were said, and by the way that we could feel our hearts open and just embrace the moment. And for me, you know, I feel connected to this Irish Latino Catholic family in a way that I never expected to, you know, before I became a celebrant.
Irish Latino Catholic.
Yes.
Wow. And, you know, you're saying that gets into one of the things that I have highlighted in publicizing the show to folks. And I think that some of them might have thought that I went a little bit over the top in my description when I said, you know, she's a Jamaican Muslim and he is an Irish Jew. But here you're talking about, you know, an Irish Latino Catholic lesbian aunt who's the godparent, and talking about an opportunity for people who might otherwise find themselves not so welcome in more conventional or, you know, traditional settings, having a place where they can do that very important work that you mentioned, processing change, you know, going through that psychological step of coming to accept new titles. I thought that was really important as well, you know, taking on new titles. When people get married, they take on the title of husband and wife. When you graduate, you may take on some kind of honorary title. Describe to me a little bit about other kinds of ceremonies that folks might create for themselves to commemorate moments that don't usually get commemorated in society at large.
I'd love to. I'd love to talk to you about a house blessing that I did that also included a love attraction element.
Wow,
so,
yes. I was curious about this love attraction thing, so that's great.
So this was a woman who had who grew up in New Jersey, went to law school in New Jersey, and then moved to Boston for about 10 years. And so she came back to New York, and she picked up her old friends pretty much just like she left off. And she moved into this beautiful new apartment, and part the reason she went to Boston was a love relationship. And now she's come back because that love relationship ended, and she wants to make room for love in her life, and really good love.
Yes.
And so we blessed the home. We went to every corner of the apartment, all the rooms, and then the friends. And we burned sage, and the friends formed a circle around her and talked about the kind of love that she represented in their lives and how wonderful it was to have her back in New York City and to just remind her of the light that she shares and to let her know that we see her right and perfect mate being attracted to her just organically.
Mm.
And
right.
It was extremely touching, and we lit an incense, and we put that all over the room, and we used some rose water We touched her with that. And I'm happy to say she's in a good relationship now. She's in a new apartment. What a good release.
You know, I got chills listening to you describe that, the specialness of recognizing the support that you have from your friends. You know, human beings in modern society, we emphasize the individual so much and individual achievement and effort and so forth. But truly, we are communal people, animals, humans are communal. We're born into families. You know, we're not born into individual pods and that sort of thing. And so it's great to have opportunities to recognize that by calling your friends together and having them share their feelings for you and each other in that way. And it looks like the ceremony worked in this situation.
Yeah. And also, you know, in New York, so many of us moved here from other places, and our friends really become our family or our second family, sometimes even our first family, because the way life changes and because of the way we change. And I see a lot of times that we have a chance to say in ceremony what our friends mean to us, that in day-to-day life we kind of either miss or we're not prepared to go to that depth. But it's a beautiful thing in a ceremony to recognize friends, because they're often the ones who are with us in our darkest moments.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yes. And so we've talked a bit now about how rituals function in our lives, that we engage in ritual in ways that are mundane, that we might not recognize, that morning cup of coffee, as you mentioned. And then in larger contexts like weddings and funerals that most people are familiar with. And then there are opportunities to create ceremonies to commemorate events that are not necessarily as recognized in the United States. I know that elsewhere, and we can talk about that as well, you know, how we incorporate traditions from other cultures. But elsewhere where there might be rituals that are recognized for house blessings and baby welcomings on a regular basis, it's not necessarily so common here in the United States. And so people who decide to take a moment to mark those occasions have an opportunity to then be creative about what actually the ceremony is made up of. And we're going to take some time to talk with you, Kim, about specifically how you go through the process of creating a ceremony with people and how your function as a celebrant might be different than that of a clergy person. So we're going to talk about that when we come back, but we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to turn you back over to Valerie June. And as I said, we're celebrating nonconformists in a sense, people who choose to chart their own paths, even when they do so in community. And so this song is called the No Drawers Blues, and I think when you listen to the words, you'll understand why I picked it in particular. Enjoy. We'll be back in just a moment.
Don't wear no draw.
back to the show. I hope that you enjoyed that. That was Valerie June singing the No Drawers Blues. It's from her album called Mountain of Rose Quartz, and it's available for sale through her website. If you want to know more about her, please visit my website for the show. It is untangledresolutions.blogspot.com, and you can find more information about Valerie June, who will be in the New York City area this weekend. So you can find out more about that on the website. Welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Untangled Resolutions' presentation of The Problem is the Answer, a show about the social and financial issues that concern you most. I am your host, Batavi Levantombeni, relationship coach and divorce mediator, and I'm broadcasting live from Harlem, USA. Untangled Resolutions is a private practice in relationship and divorce mediation. If ending a relationship is your healthiest choice, I can help you to transition to a new relationship without you losing your shirt or your mind. Visit my website at www.123untangled.com. I'm really happy today to be here on the show with my guest, Kim Kirkley. She is a celebrant, somebody who helps people to create memorable celebrations that could be the conventional, such as weddings and funerals and graduation ceremonies, and then also get into celebrating other parts of our lives that perhaps get overlooked, but for folks who decide not to overlook them, like house blessings and baby welcomings, she can help you to create memories that truly fit with who you are. And I'm glad to welcome her back to the show. Kim, your mic is back on. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Wonderful. You know, we talked in our first segment a little bit about the function of ritual in our lives and how that helps us to process change and how important celebrating major changes and milestones in our lives can be important. What I'm interested in learning more about is why your work and what you bring to a ceremony is different from, let's say, hiring a clergy person or finding some other option for having somebody lead in a ceremony.
Yes, well, with me and with celebrants, nothing is imposed. Everything is devoted to the couple or the client, to the person, and we are excellent listeners. Human beings have a need to be witnessed and not fixed, and I believe that celebrants fit that to a T.
Hold on a moment. I'm going to break in here for a second because I'd really like to get that highlighted. I love what you just said. You said human beings have the need to be witnessed and not fixed.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit more about what you mean by that.
So what we seek to do as celebrants and the way in which we serve human beings is that we create a space where people are safe to be themselves, to share their hearts, their true beliefs outside of any structure, and we seek to honor these beliefs through ceremony. So when someone decides to work with me, the first thing I do is ask them questions.
Mm-hmm.
And these questions fit for any ceremony. What is the message that you would like to receive from the ceremony? And what is the message that you'd like your guests to receive from your ceremony? And how would you like to feel during your ceremony and after your ceremony?
Okay.
So with these answers, we're able to craft something that serves their vision of their ceremony. So for a wedding ceremony, it could be as simple as feeling happy. For a coming-of-age ceremony, the young person might want to feel no longer like a child.
Yes.
So, and we will need to figure out now, what does that mean for you? Does that mean that during the ceremony you take one of your cherished stuffed animals and say goodbye to it and say, I've moved on. Thank you for being my friend. And now it's time for me to take up other pursuits. And it can be that simple, but it can be so profoundly powerful.
But, you know, here's something that you mentioned on your website, actually, when I went and I was doing background for the show that struck me particularly. And you described a ceremony of a wedding that was at least a second marriage, I believe, for the couple, at least for one person who had a child from a prior relationship. And you talked about how you were able to include that child in the wedding ceremony. Tell me about that.
Yes, those family vows are some of the most heartwarming things to witness. So first thing we do is ask the young person if he or she wants to participate. And the first time I did a family vow or a step-parent's vows, the groom's daughter, she was about 13, difficult age for almost everyone, and she was having a bit of a problem, you know, just being at the wedding, getting ready for it, and we asked, well, actually, her father asked, do you actually want to be a part of the wedding? Do you want to have vows with your new stepmother? I'm a little bit tender around that word because we try to work out new ways to say that because it has some baggage. Mm-hmm. And here she was very clear. Yes, she wanted to participate because her life was, and she knew that her life was going to change dramatically because her father is her primary parent. And so that was, she would be living with her stepmother from then on. And so we took a moment during the ceremony for the stepmother and the child to acknowledge their new connection. And we also mentioned that the stepmother was not trying at all to replace her mother.
Right.
But she intended to be another trusted adult in her family. Mm-hmm. And it's always a beautiful thing. And we end the family vows portion sometimes with a gift giving. So in this case, the father gave the daughter a pendant, a necklace, but always with a family hug. And that's so beautiful.
Right, right. You know, there are so many things, I think, in transitions like that that go unspoken, where folks make assumptions about what the other is thinking. You mentioned that there is baggage around the concept of a step-parent, for example. And so there may be assumptions, and what you do then allows people the space to talk about how they are experiencing this tradition or this transition, and talk about their expectations and what they would like to see in their new relationships.
Oh, yes. And making room for conversation, giving people a place and a safe way to talk about their deepest feelings can really help them to navigate the course. Oftentimes I'll ask couples and families questions that no one has ever asked them before.
Oh, of course.
And the answers that they give are so breathtaking. It's all there, but most of the time we don't go that deep.
Nobody's
so we
ever
get a chance
to
go deep. Yeah, don't bother to ask. Don't want to go there. I think we think that people aren't processing their emotions at that level.
Okay.
When we really are, you know, you can talk to even a 4-year-old and you can be really surprised by,
well, yes,
you know, well, how they're processing what's going on and their insights.
Right.
So everybody is respected when you're working with a celebrant. And that's just more life to all.
Right. Well, give me an example of a question that people find surprising.
Let's see. I mean, when did you know that this relationship was something special? Or was there a pivotal moment, or did it happen more gradually?
Mm-hmm.
What's another one? What aspect of your partner's character fills you with pride and joy?
Hmm.
And then if we're memorializing someone, what are some of the stories they like to tell? What's your favorite memory of your loved one?
And I'm guessing then that you asking those questions allows you to incorporate the answers that you get into the ceremony as you present it.
Oh, yes. I think of these ceremonies as love story ceremonies. And sometimes the love story is like you would see in a movie. We met here, they met here, we met, and sometimes I use their own, let them use their own voices. You know, it could be they met there, instant attraction. And sometimes we tell the love story through rituals, through poems, through songs. But and the funerals, that's another love story.
Yes.
You know, baby welcomings, everybody's in love. Everybody's in love with this new little life.
Right, absolutely. I want to know a little bit then about how you came to this work. How did you find this calling?
Oh, I was a very unhappy lawyer, and I was looking to do something that fed my spirit. I wasn't very religious. I'd had a very difficult experience at a church, but I really studied spirituality and finding that sense of peace. And I knew that I didn't want to have to will myself to work anymore. I wanted to find joy in my work. And
right.
So I was temping. I was doing document review as an attorney in a warehouse off of a highway in New Jersey. And I met someone.
Just wonderful.
I met someone, a colleague who had just gotten married, and she'd had a difficult time finding the right person to do her ceremony. And in passing, we said there should be people out there who give other people the ceremonies that they really want with a lot of professionalism and no judgment. And then a few months later, it might have been weeks, she found an ad in her local New Jersey newspaper, the Montclair Times, for people with a background in the humanities who wanted a rewarding vocation, giving other people the ceremonies that they really want. And she brought that to work. And that little piece of paper, she handed it to me like it was gilded. And I accepted it like it was the answer to a prayer. I immediately knew this was for me. I had to explore it. And that was 10 years ago, and I was one of the first celebrants in the United States to study with the Celebrant Foundation and Institute in Montclair, New Jersey.
Wow.
And
tell us more about the Institute and about the training that a celebrant gets.
Well, I was actually trained by some of the celebrants from Australia. One of our founders met a Dully Messenger, an Australian celebrant. And he was one of the first celebrants in Australia. I mean, it's really ancient, but in Australia, about 40 years ago, a very enlightened statesman said people outside of religious institutions should be able to have ceremonies, wedding ceremonies. And of course, it grew to other kinds of ceremonies. And in Australia, they're actually civil. They're actually a part. They're a part of the government in some way, and they're regulated. They're highly regulated. So in the United States, 10 years ago now, some great folks in Montclair, New Jersey, decided to start the Celebrant Foundation to create this designation of professional ritual makers who create ceremonies that could be non-religious or religious. But our credo is we reflect the views of the principles, and we are never to put our personal beliefs in a ceremony. So that's markedly different from pretty much any clergy person.
So my understanding with a clergy person, as we're talking about the distinction, is that you'll choose a clergy person based on your denomination, let's say, if you're getting married or if you're having a funeral, and there's an expectation that a certain belief system will be what controls in that ceremony. And everybody sort of knows it's the Catholic priest or, it's a Presbyterian minister or what have you. And so the expectation then is that the minister leads in creating the ceremony, and the expectations come out of this religious tradition that already exists and everybody knows about. With celebrants, what I'm hearing from you is that it's different. You allow the people who come to you for your services to decide what goes into the content of the ceremony.
Yes, we present them with options, with possibilities. We've studied ceremonies and rituals throughout the ages and from many different traditions. What we don't know, we research. Every principal has word-for-word approval of the text. And but we are guides. Like, we're able to say, you know, we've seen this work, or in this tradition they do it that way. So you're not just blind. You're really going with an expert, a ceremony expert. So it's kind of, well, of course I'm biased, but to me it's kind of the best of both worlds. So, you know, we can add, we can reflect what a religious person would have in it, and we can also add whatever flavor appeals to the client.
Right. So what I'm getting then is that in your training, you were able to study what people have done in many cultures and in many times that allows you then to be a source of information and perhaps inspiration for your clients.
Oh, yes. And also I'm able to see the similarities in cultures, like the unity candle lighting. That appears in so many different cultures that there is a very universal element to it. And some people think it's just Catholic, but I can point people toward South African traditions where it's the lighting of the hearth, and some of that fire is taken to the new home for the new couple.
Yeah.
So, and you know, and that's also really helpful because some people don't want to be or feel like they are quote-unquote culture vultures, but when I'm able to say, well, no, this shows up in a lot of places, that helps them to feel like okay with it, and also it reminds us that we really are all human beings having this experience on Earth, and
right.
There really are similarities between us, and also really important differences to be honored.
Right. Well, so what I'm understanding then is that you're able to help people to understand how it is that they are actually more similar than different. And that's something that you find in human society in general, I think, that from a distance, what might seem to be really, not just unique, but exotic and different, when you come down to the bottom of things, human beings all over the world are pretty much the same.
We all pretty much want the same thing. We want to be happy. We want to be warm. We want to know that we're loved. And that happens in these ceremonies. And it happens by being extremely specific, by telling one person's story or one couple's story. The similarities just naturally come up. Like, I don't go looking for them.
Mm.
But they're there.
They are,
and
there.
And they touch, and we feel it. You know, we feel it with our hearts.
Right. Wonderful. You know, on that note, I'm going to take another little break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the wonderful things that have happened for you in your practice, and then talk about how clients come to you, how you choose clients, and the kinds of ceremonies that perhaps you would not be involved in as well, so that people have an understanding about that.
Oh, very good.
Good. So we'll do that when we come back. I'm going to turn you back over to Valerie June. This is a song called Shacky Bound, and it comes from her CD, Valerie June and the Tennessee Express. And again, it is about people who are looking for a place where they fit in. So it's about a person who is in search of an authentic place for herself in this case. We'll be back in just a moment.
Waiting on my old dark mule, master come and gone, 'cause I can't find him nowhere, and the says it's been too long. Driven from my found the sea, right wrong.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the show. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Untangled Resolutions presentation of The Problem is the Answer, a show about the social and financial issues that concern you most. I'm your host, Batabi Leventombeni, relationship coach and divorce mediator, broadcasting live from Harlem, USA. Untangled Resolutions is a private practice in relationship and divorce mediation. If ending a relationship is your healthiest choice, I can help you to transition to a new relationship without you losing your shirt or your mind. Visit my website at www.123untangled.com. You've been listening to Valerie June, a wonderfully talented singer and songwriter, and I'm delighted that she will be here in New York City this coming weekend. For more information about her and the show schedule, please visit my blog, untangledresolutions.blogspot.com. That's untangledresolutions.blogspot.com. And I also want to let you know that if you're interested in listening to the show at another time, perhaps you weren't able to catch the entire show, or it's more convenient for you to listen in the morning when you're on your way to work or on your way back home, you can download the show to your iPod or your MP3 player of any kind by going to the show's website. And if you're listening to the show online, you're already on the show's website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Batabile. And that's my first name, and it's spelled B-A-T-H-A-B-I-L-E. When you get to the website, click on the iTunes icon, and it will automatically download your program to your MP3 player, and you can listen to it anytime you'd like. And you can always come back, of course, to the website to listen to the show on demand as well. So I'm really happy today to have been visiting with Kim Kirkley, who is a celebrant, a milestone or a life milestone celebrant. And we're talking about the various options that people can have for creating rituals or ceremonies to commemorate special times in their lives and how important it is to commemorate important changes in our lives, important milestones in our lives. And Kim, your mic is back on. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
Wonderful. I want to talk a little bit about you and the services that you give and the recognition that you've been given. I understand that you have been given several awards for the services that you give to your clients.
Oh, yes. Let's see. In 2005, I was named a Modern Bride Trendsetter. And that year, Vera Wang was honored, Wolfgang Puck. So I was in some really wonderful company.
Wow.
Let's see. This year, I am quote-unquote, the officiant, according to New York Magazine, and they devoted a whole page to me.
Wow.
And I'm on the Wedding Professionals Hot List for 2011. I've won the Bride's Choice Award from Wedding Wire. And, yeah, it's been beautiful. You know, there's nothing more rewarding than, you know, sharing your heart with people and then being recognized for doing something that you love.
Well, it sounds as though you bring something really unique to it that folks have found worthy of recognition. I know that you say that on your website you have voiceover experience. Talk to me a little bit about the qualities that you bring in your practice and what it is that people should look for when they're looking to work with a celebrant.
Well, I think that the quality of one's voice is really important for a ceremony because you want to be able to listen to the person tell your story and not worry that it sounds like they're shouting these really precious emotions.
Sure.
So by having the voiceover acting training, I'm able to project my voice in a way that I can speak to 250 people outdoors in Brooklyn and be heard, but be heard in a way that catches all the nuances of the emotions that are being shared. Also, as an attorney, you know, there's an incredible amount of attention to detail, and that analysis, the way that we're taught to think as an attorney, right. really helps me to be able to see what will work in a ceremony and what might not, and to be able to steer people in a way that really continues to express their vision but does not cause them discomfort or make anyone feel embarrassed.
Right. And, you know, you're leading right into a question that came in through the chat room. So this is really a wonderful point for me to bring forth that question. Somebody in the chat room asked, have you ever come across a couple who wanted to join, who wanted a spiritual ceremony, but their parents were very religious? So I guess this is going into do you handle situations where there might be disagreements within the family about how to create a ceremony?
Oh, yes. I actually get this a lot. And it's really, it's a fun challenge to have to figure out how to keep peace within the family. One thing that I found that often works, and it depends on the couple, because I do tell the bride and groom, this is your ceremony. But something that often works is to have the parents who are religiously observant maybe offer a prayer or read a passage from whatever religious text they follow. And it also depends on the parent. You know, sometimes it's better for the bride and groom to pick what the parent is to say. But then other times, it's fun to give the parent, the religiously observant parent, the power to choose how they will bless the couple. And usually that smooths things out, because the things that they want said are said during the ceremony. And we're able to honor the couple's wishes, but also include their parents in a way that's meaningful.
So it sounds like, again, it's a matter of having open conversations that allow you to get at the essence of what people want to convey. I mean, you know, in a situation like this, there may be a power struggle on the surface between the parents and the couple who are creating the ceremony about what gets said. But underlying that, there is the fact that the parents really want to be able to participate and to convey their love and joy for the couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to feel like things are being done the right way.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, and of course there are definite opinions about what that is. Speaking of doing things the right way, I was curious about how you go about learning about rituals that perhaps you weren't aware of. I know that I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, you helped a couple who wanted to celebrate with a cherry blossom ceremony. So how did that come about?
Oh, that was wonderful. Actually, the bride is a photographer, and so she'd seen me do a ceremony before she was even engaged, before she even met her husband. And so she knew she wanted me to do her ceremony. And their first date was at the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens during cherry blossom season. Mm-hmm. So they did a little research. I did a little research. She is Japanese, so the cherry blossoms, you know, they came, that tradition came with her. She's an immigrant. And then we talked about how the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens has one of the first Japanese gardens in the United States, and certainly one of the biggest, and the fact that it was a full circle moment for them just made it weave into the story and the setting so beautifully.
So how did you know what to say and how to perform the ceremony?
Well, they actually sent me some links to things that they liked that talked about cherry blossoms and the cherry blossom tradition in Japan. And I pulled some things off of the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens website, and then I just wrote a little story, and I emailed it to them, and we worked with it until they loved it.
So, again, you talked a bit before about how what's really important for celebrants is that they don't control the ceremony. It is the principals, I guess you were calling them, your clients, who...
Mm-hmm.
Decide what goes in. And so this is an example of how it's a synergistic process?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And I've also had instances where I would buy a book on the ritual or the community and read all about their traditions and really modernize the tradition and create something that's like a 21st century version of a tradition. It's actually a Hindu tradition that I'm thinking about that is actually very beautiful, but was a little too, not a little, that was too male-oriented for my couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was great fun and meaningful and, you know, everything was there to bring it into the 21st century where girl children would be as welcomed as boy children.
Right. And, you know, ceremonies, traditions, rituals, they do evolve over time. I think it's a bit of a misperception that we have that all rituals are handed down for exactly the same over the millennium or millennia, and that there really isn't an opportunity for them to change. They do change anyway, isn't it?
That is so true, and it's so good to hear you say that. And we lose sight of that, and we think that we are sometimes polluting a tradition or a ritual, when really we're just doing what the same thing that the people who came before us did. You know, life changes, and we change with it on some level. And then the essential elements all remain the same, hopefully. Well, and actually we bring more life to that, because as I think about it, the respect for life that we have, I actually think we have a heightened degree of respect for all different kinds of people than some of our ancestors did.
Right. Speaking then of very different people, what I understand in your orientation is that you are generally inclusive. You're looking for ways to celebrate a very wide, diverse set of belief systems and people and origins and so forth. But are there people that you find are not right for your services?
Yeah, and one of the things that I have on my website is please no bridezillas.
Ah.
You know, there's this this piece of popular culture that has some young women believe that because they're the bride, that they could just, in my opinion, behave very badly. And so I'm not looking to work with folks who have that orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not looking to work with people who have a hierarchical kind of approach to relationship. I like a sense of equality. And, of course, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning folks are definitely welcome. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And that is, I think, a really important factor to highlight. You know, we started off the show talking about a baby welcoming for a family that couldn't find somebody to officiate within the religious tradition that they had come from. And so it is important then that you are providing services for folks who might otherwise find themselves without a home for, mm-hmm. you know, creating these ceremonies and so forth. We have just about a minute left, believe it or not. The time flies so quickly. I want to have an opportunity for you to, you know, sort of give a last wrap-up on what it is that you do and what you want people to know about the importance of creating rituals that are unique and celebrate the individuals and the communities that they come from.
I would invite everyone to tell your story. So tell your story with your loved ones. Tell your story now while you are here on this life, in this life. And also think about telling your story through ritual, through ceremonies. And remember that your life has value. Your trials, your triumphs have value. And maybe it's time to celebrate them through ceremony. Maybe
mm-hmm.
it's a retirement, or maybe there's new life in your family, or you just want a new approach to your relationship.
Well, thank you so much, Kim. Finally, could you let people know how they can contact you if they're interested in talking with you directly?
Sure. My website is ourelegantceremony.com, and you can read all about the wedding ceremonies. My funeral website is lifestoryfuneralnyc.com, and my telephone number is 718-753-1993. That's 718-753-1993, and that number accepts texts as well. It's been a pleasure to be on with you, Batabale.
Thank you so much, Kim. And again, if you're not able to write down that information because you're traveling or for some other reason, when you have a chance, visit untangledresolutions.blogspot.com, and you'll find a link to Kim's website. Kim, thank you so very much. You've been a wonderful guest, and you're welcome to come back anytime.
Oh, I'd love to. It was great, great fun sharing with you, Batabale. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to the show. I hope that you have enjoyed it. I'm welcoming your comments and participation in a conversation about the things that we talk about here on the show. So visit the website, untangledresolutions.blogspot.com, and add your comments and learn more about the show. I do want you to know that coming up in a couple of weeks, on the 29th of May, we will not have a show air. I'm going on vacation. And so the show won't air, but I'm working on the show for next week. Be sure to join again for another new and exciting topic. I'm going to leave you with Valerie June and the Tennessee Express. And the song is called Rain Dance. And I thought it would be appropriate to end with that because that is a ceremony, a ritual that one can perform to bring blessings to your life and perhaps wash away sadness or other burdens that you have. But before I do that, I want to recognize the All Nations Seventh-day Adventist Church in Southern California, which was my introduction to living in a very diverse world. This church has dozens of people coming in from different countries people come from dozens of countries in Southern south of the Sahara in Africa. I'm trying to rush here. But I wanted to make sure to recognize them. We've got people from all over Africa who joined together and who are not listening to the show today, actually, because they're all at a wedding, celebrating a wedding together. And when we come together, we celebrate each other's traditions. And so I want to give them some recognition for what they do. All right. So we're going to leave you with Rain Dance. I hope you've enjoyed the show and see you again next week. La 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 la